brow. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
Chill factors today and snow on the overnight and into our Sunday as well. This is your Thunder Country weather update for all of southern Iowa. Tonight's overnight low with the wind chill value feeling like 5 degrees. Saturday on the overnight, newest snow accumulation, less than a half of an inch. But look out on Sunday. We have a 70% chance of snow and 2 to 4 inches of snow is predicted.
K-I-I-C.
It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Corner, brought to you by Community First Credit Union. Jason Summers brings you live interviews with the area's sports headliners.
Oh, that's horrible. That is some rude broadcasting, brother.
With clear and concise analysis.
Carter Isley!
Wow!
He stepped to the left or to the right. To the left or to the right.
Jason takes you through today's complex sports stories and makes them simple.
And this is Jason Summers, who will be ending the day. I am still jacked up on the dude.
And now, from his Community First Credit Union man cave.
Buckle up, boys. Now look, doll.
This might get hairy.
It's the Coach's Corner.
Attention, this is your captain speaking. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we'll be landing immediately. Bad news is we're crash landing.
You're listening to the Coach's Corner live from Community First Credit Union on Thunder Country KIIC.
Grooving right in here in your Coach's Corner. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome in. Welcome in, everyone. We have officially crash landed here on the north side of the Albia Square. And looking down upon a thinly coated snow on the grass of the courthouse lawn. We're hoping it stays thinly coated, Jacob Briggs. Happy New Year to you, Jacob.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Did you have a full New Year? I mean, did you have a good New Year? I mean, what did you do on New Year's Eve? Did you was New Year's Day rememberable? Because if you had too much fun on your New Year's Eve, then you may have slept right through New Year's Eve.
Nothing too crazy.
All right. We want to make sure that you grabbed on to the New Year in proper form. It was such a good New Year. I had the best New Year's party ever.
Really?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. It was a little improv and a little bit of a party crashing. I don't know if you consider it party crashing when it's your son who's having the party. Went out to Brick Street at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we got there about 5:15, but, you know, pretty close to that 5 o'clock.
Right.
Tony, oh, man, his filet special he had for New Year's was fantastic. And then while we're sitting there, had a good company come by. The Rockwell stopped over and joined us for a few minutes and some other people that were in. And But then I get a text from my son and inviting us out to their house for an improv New Year's Eve party, and it was the best. My daughter-in-law put together some really fun games. Well, you know, like, you know, they were kid games, but they were perfect. Mm. Henry and Eden Rose were the life of my party.
Good.
And about 10 o'clock, just about 10, I almost made it 10, Jacob, went home and with my bride, and we got on the couch, and I had full intent of watching the ball drop on Times Square, and at 11:58, I woke up, and I turned the TV on, only to realize that the channel that I had it on was already, it was in Eastern Standard Time, so I didn't even get to see the ball drop. Matter of fact, it was right into, I look at my watch, and I said, well, 11:58, it's going to be dropping. So I turned the TV on, because it turned itself off. It was a smart TV. It realized that we both were asleep on the couch. This is the excitement you get when you're 55 having New Year's Eve. And I tried to wake my wife up. I think she kind of rolled her eyes open. I'm not sure. But when I turned the TV on, fully expecting the ball, you know, the countdown to be on, it was in a commercial break. And I think, well, who goes to commercial break 2 minutes before? Well, those who are on Eastern Standard Time and had, so I missed it. So I missed the ball drop. But here is 25.
That's right.
25. And, you know, we move quick in this world. I'm looking over here. We have a behind Jacob in this his maestro position. He looks like a maestro. I don't know. A maestro kind of puts together the orchestra, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're behind your board, you know, the Grand Wizard of Oz that he is. He's got this big board. But behind him in the backdrop is, you know, we have this this events board. And on it is Valentine's Day Dinner Dance. And I'm like, oh my, New Year's Day, my wife and I go to Des Moines. No. This is we're celebrating our anniversary, 33rd year anniversary on the 28th. And we're in Des Moines and we decide we're going to go out. Nice meal, wonderful. Got to spend time with my bride. Went into the stores. And everything was changed from Christmas to Valentine's Day. I said, mm-hmm. we waste no time at all. It is, commercialization is bam. They're getting your first, you know, and I wonder how many people are buying the new Valentine's stuff that was just put out in fears that they won't have it on the 14th, because I'll be running in there on the 14th to pick up my bride her Valentine's card. And no, I won't, honey. I have planned way ahead. But I just was blown away. We move fast in this world, don't we?
We do.
I don't know if we really digest everything that we're bringing in. I mean, we barely have time to digest Christmas mm-hmm. and a new year, and we're being fed candy.
That's right.
Valentine's candy. And I still have Halloween candy, Jacob. do you guys overbuy the Halloween candy?
Not really, no.
Oh, this is really good. You know, cleaning out space in my pantry. I decided to throw away the Easter bunny, the chocolate Easter bunny that was sitting in there. And it was a Reese's. You just can't, you know, I'm looking for the expiration date. I don't think there is. And I had to throw it away, a Reese's peanut butter bunny. I'm thinking, how does that last? How did I not see that? And at some point break down. I was in deep training, trying to be in really good training. But my point is that we hang on to this candy, and I still have Halloween candy. And my wife has filled, you know, one thing that if you're a diabetic, you do not want to come to my house. It's not the place for a diabetic. And we neither one of us really eat the candy. Mm-hmm. But you got, you know, you have to have the candy so that if you want the candy, you have the candy. Because you need right. the candy if you want the candy.
That's right.
Right? Oh, boy.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, glad. Somebody's just driven off the road trying to understand that. The lines on the road, if they're blurred, it's, you know, I don't know if you can get an OWI or a DUI if you're driving under the influence of Jason. I don't, you know, you could be swerving on the roads. By the way, there's going to be a lot of people swerving on the roads. Well, hopefully not swerving, but traveling on the roads. Right now, the Southern Iowa Youth Basketball League, which is free to all the kids, is going on. And something I'm really proud of that I've helped throw together, and I think it's been a long time, Jacob, mm-hmm. 20 plus years, I'm closing on 30. And I think about all these gyms that are opening up, and these the volunteers are out there running the scoreboards, letting kids in, and the janitors who can volunteer their time to come in and clean things up, and the people in the concession stands, and all the coaches. And if you're traveling right now to some youth basketball game, I want to congratulate you and thank all. Make sure when you walk in those gyms that you know, and make sure your feet are clean. That's a nice thing to do. And the second thing is to make sure you say thank you often, because these are all volunteers. And I would encourage, I do this every once in a while. I break into my, because this is my monologue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got a monologue here.
That's right.
Right. So this is a mile-long monologue. I want to encourage all the parents today with their kids as they're walking into a gym to just take it in. To enjoy watching them play. Let me tell you about winning and losing. And I sure do not like losing at all. I am a fierce competitor. You would find that out if you were ever to play tic-tac-toe with me. Because I think life is best when it's best played with all purpose and intent. To the best of your ability. But there is something far worse in this world than losing. It's called never trying. And that is what happens to kids when they... Or us as adults. Come on, mom and dad, you're hearing me right now and you're thinking about the place in your life where you stopped. See, there's one thing that will steal everything good in your life, Jacob, and I hope you'll get this, and don't let this ever take you. One thing that's going to steal everything good in your life, and it's called fear. And fear doesn't operate in self where it scares you oftentimes, or it's like, boo, I don't think I scared anybody in that, but man, that'd be pretty cool. Boo! I did it again. Fear creates you to stand still and do nothing. There's something far worse than losing. It's called never trying. And when a kid gets these artificial lids put on their lives by their friends, their family, their coaches, they get to a place where they just stand still. They don't really try. Mm-hmm. I saw this, and there's this story I'll share with everybody, and maybe it'll bring some life to all of you. As a new dad of a little girl, and being a sports-minded dad and a person all my life, very sports-minded, my daughter, I think she was 4, started dance. And she would go to her dance lessons, and you know, once a week or maybe twice a week, she'd go and do her dance lessons. And by the way, dads preparing themselves to be a father of a dancing daughter, prepare yourselves. If you think going into the gym today for 2 hours is a long event, try an entire day, and it's good. But they'll practice their routine throughout the year, Jacob. And every night she'd come home and she'd practice her routine, and Mom would put the music on and she would do it, and she'd smile, and she's so cute, you know. And she would do the moves. And then it gets to game day. See, there's one game day for most of these dancers, and it's their it's not rehearsal day. Come on, help me out, Jacob.
Recital
day. Yeah. And by the way, new to me was that you get flowers for the girls. Hmm. Okay, and that was new. I didn't know, no idea, but I did get flowers. I had to escape out between other people's sessions and get flowers. But here comes our first rehearsal day, a recital day, and we have to drive to Ottumwa to do it at Bridgeview. And before we leave, of course, my daughter is my wife is going to put her through the routine, and she plays the music, and she comes downstairs. Mm-hmm. And she's got makeup on, and she's all dolled up, and she is so cute, so precious, and she's smiling hugely. And Mom puts the music on, and she does all the routine, and is just smiling and full of joy. Like a sports-minded drill dad coach all the way from Albia to Ottumwa, I play the music and tell her to go through the motions with the music on her way down. Repetition, Jacob, is a hammer that fastens the thought, buddy. And this old coach knows that the more you do something, the better you have at doing it.
Right.
The better the chance of you doing it the proper way. So, because that's what a good dad does, mm-hmm. and a good coach. And all the way down, I'm watching her. I can see her right now in my rearview mirror. I'm watching her as I'm driving down in her rearview mirror in her car seat and smiling and doing those motions. She's flailing her arms and flailing her legs, really not able to do the motions because she's in a car seat. And we get there, and I have a very important job to do, and my wife gives me strict instructions, and those instructions were first drop them off at the front, park the car, and then get in and get a front row seat so that I can take video. That was my job. I had one job to do. And I did it, Jacob. I got there, got the front row, got my camera out, and then what happened next when it was her turn to come on changed my soul. And the way I see coaching and the way I see parenting, and I hope it might help shape a little bit of your mind too, those moms and dads who are listening right now. The curtains open up, and the girls come out, and they're all dressed up, and she's smiling, and then she gets in her position, and the music starts, and that's when my heart melted, Jacob. Because in that moment, my daughter just swayed back and forth. She didn't move. And my heart was crushed, and it wasn't crushed because suddenly I realized my daughter wasn't going to be on Dancing with the Stars or get a scholarship to the Juilliard School of Dance. But my heart was crushed because she didn't dance. Hmm. And what I realized is that in that moment, she had allowed all the fear and anxiety of doing it right, all the fear and anxiety of making a mistake, all the fear and anxiety of all the eyes that were staring back at her for the first time. She allowed that to take over, and she did nothing. There's something far worse in this world than losing. It's called never trying. And I can tell you that it happens to all of us. Even, you think about your job, your role, mine. You know, sometimes we get afraid of not necessarily what is real, but what is perceived to be. And we don't go forward. And so when your kids go in today, just let them play. Let them play. And by the way, when you get to the car and you want to tell them all the things that they could have done different, maybe that's the moment that you say nothing. Maybe that's the moment and you just say, how'd it go? And I've learned that as a coach. Mm. You know, if I'm a gold star coach, if I'm coaching a kid to play football and I'm coaching them to catch the football and they're going out for a pass and they're in the end zone and the ball's thrown to them and they miss it or drop it, I can scream and yell. And I get excited. I'm a excited guy. Testosterone is full in my body. Trust me. But when they come over, the thing, if I want to be a gold star coach, maybe I don't scream and yell. Maybe I ask them, what happened? Not say, hey, why'd you miss that? But by the way, if your kid doesn't know the catch of the football in that position, then you have failed as a coach to begin with. If your kid today misses the basket and their full intent is to make the basket, then you missed it anyway. My point being is that maybe let them tell you. And if you say, hey, what happened? And they say, I missed the ball, coach. And I said, well, then pat yourself on the back. You're a gold star coach. If I say to them afterwards, well, how are you going to fix that? Oh, I got to look it in, tuck it in, coach. Then gold star. They knew what to do. If they don't have the answer, then you can at least coach them. But yelling and screaming is not coaching, and it puts lids on the kids. And today when you go in, maybe just let them play and enjoy that. Enjoy the fact that they're giving a great effort. And there's something far worse, far, far worse than losing. It's never trying. So there's my long monologue. And, on the ride home, as a kid playing Little League Baseball, do you know what the one thing I looked forward to most, Jacob? Some would say, well, you win, hit a home run. I enjoyed knowing I was going to get a bottle of pop. Back then, they actually had bottles. And every time your coach or a parent would buy you pop and you would run to the concession stand. In about 5 minutes after the game was over or less, our lives have moved on to other things. And for your kids, they will too. And so enjoy just watching them. And you can still stop for ice cream even if they don't win today. You can still make it a little special trip. And, of course, they can learn. You can learn from your mistakes. But you only learn from those mistakes and implement that what you've learned if you're willing to stay in and willing to keep trying. So don't kill the tribe because of fear. There you go. There's my monologue. Hey, we're going to talk to some coaches. Coming into this Christmas break, undefeated were the boys. The girls had one loss to the top-rated team in the state of Iowa, the Rockets. By the way, the Rockets, what a girls program, man. They are just absolutely dominating a tremendous in volleyball and in softball and basketball, doing the right things down there, the Rockets. We're going to talk with Coach Dykes here in a few seconds. Coach Archer's going to join us. Coach Helm's going to join us. The guys are on the wrestling mat today right now in the duels contest, so I won't get to talk boys wrestling. Maybe Coach Helm will give us a little bit of update there. He's in the wrestling room with them as well. But we got a lot to talk about because we come into the Christmas break with a whole bunch of optimism. Maybe the best spot we've been in all sports here in Albia in a long time. The boys and girls both playing top-notch basketball and the wrestling off and running. When we come back, we'll get you reset for the new year. And it is a new year, Jacob. 2025. Can you believe it? 2025. All right, buckle up, folks. You're on a long ride. That is the Coach's Corner, but it's a fast one, so buckle up. Here we go.
Jason Summers will return with Coach's Corner after a quick message from our sponsors.
Are you a saver or a spender? Either way, we have you covered at Community First Credit Union with two great reward checking options. Our checking accounts are about money in your pocket, not points you'll never use. Simply meet monthly qualifications to get your rewards and unlimited nationwide ATM fee refunds. And no matter what happens, there are no monthly fees or minimum balance requirements. Switch to CFirst today and let us reward you, because at CFirst, together is better. Rules and qualifications apply. CFirst is federally insured by the NCUA.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance. Because every policy comes with a local agent. A real person who lives right in my community who I can rely on to help keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit Summers Insurance in Albia today at summersins.net.
No one likes to think about death, let alone plan for it. But making this important decision today allows time for consideration of all details with a clear mind, free from the stresses and confusion immediately following death. Pre-funding a funeral is a thoughtful and loving act to remove the financial burdens from loved ones under difficult circumstances, and it ensures that your wishes will be carried out. It may seem intimidating to begin planning your own funeral. However, the staff at Tharp Funeral Home would be happy to meet with you under no obligation. Contact Tharp Funeral Home in Albia at 932-3129.
Get 15% off everything you can fit inside the bag at Menards. Quaker State Full Synthetic Motor Oil ensures strong engine performance, even in freezing temperatures. It also delivers unsurpassed protection against friction-related wear. Get 15% off Quaker State Motor Oil and all the automotive products you can fit inside the bag. Good through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Feeling the pinch of today's inflation, from groceries to electric bills and everything in between? At Sheraton Quick Lane, they're not just about quality service. They're about putting money back into your pocket with their low-price tire guarantee offer. And military and first responders get an additional $70 rebate. Buy your tires local for the same price or less than any competitor's in-store price. When every dollar counts, come to Sheraton Quick Lane for their low-price tire guarantee and get a $70 rebate going on now at Sheraton Quick Lane.
From high atop Albia Square, looking out all over southern Iowa, KIIC Albia.
Here with me now is head coach Kevin Archer, head coach of Albia Blue Demons. And coach, well, you've had a little time off, and everyone needs a little time off. But when you're smoking the way you guys were smoking going into the break, you know, maybe a little relaxation. But I'm sure you guys are biting at the bit to get back on the court.
Yeah, and just a kind of a goofy situation because we were set up to be the off from the 20th to the 10th, and then we get that Clark game rescheduled for the 7th for next Tuesday. But I'd already had my Christmas schedule out,
Yeah. So
kind of hard to go back and change a bunch of it. But we had a couple open gyms a couple days earlier. I think that Friday and Saturday we had some open gyms, the Friday and Saturday after Christmas, and then we got back at it on Monday, but just a really unique break. And a lot of teams were played last night, played on the 3rd. So, you know, and we did not. So just kind of unique in not just the length, but just kind of how our schedule sets up.
Yeah. Really the disappointment of losing the Clark game when you did, playing so well. Mm-hmm. I thought it might have been to your advantage because it gets you playing earlier and, with no disrespect to Clark, but the right kind of opponent to open up into. And I just think it was good to get that Monday game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially if we didn't get a scrimmage because teams are playing on the 3rd. We're not playing on the 3rd, so that kind of – And I tell you what, I would imagine it looked like almost everybody played on the 3rd, except teams in our conference. So a scrimmage didn't really line up with us correctly in terms of schedule. But, you know, we're deep. You know, we can go 5-on-5 and have really good scrimmages of our own.
I just think, you probably have as good of, you know, scrimmaging yourselves probably just as competitive as if you went out and got somebody else to go up against. I just think the depth of your team is really the strength of your team, but it is also the challenge of your team because you got all these parts and you got a lot of bodies you want to feed.
Right, right. So the scrimmage wasn't a huge deal. You know, our guys have been, and I told them through break, I said, you know, if we continue to think and act the way that we do,
right. The
way that we have, just how unselfish our guys have been, because, you know, a 10-man rotation isn't always a 10-man rotation. You know, it gets pinched a little bit in certain games, and it did a little bit at Centerville. It got pinched a little bit, and I felt like our guys have really, really handled it the right way. We've got some super unselfish guys, and I just told them, you know, if their main focus is to get better every day, and if their main focus is wins, You know, not that every game is the end of the world win, but just let's, you know, those are the stats that we need to worry about is that next game, then we'll just continue to get better. I mean, the only thing that's going to set us back is us worrying about the wrong things.
Well, you've had a little time to reflect on that first half. Not first half, but
first the third.
It seems like half, but it's really narrow. But your perspective. What are some of the things that you took away from that? You said, "Hey, you know, we are excelling here that I didn't expect." And then I'll let you do the other side. Hey, these are things I think we really need to improve upon as we come out of this break.
Yeah, I think you know, we talked about it even today. I think the biggest thing that. Not the biggest thing, but we've been really good in transition. We've been really good in transition offensively and defensively. You know, and I don't know if huddle stats are always 100% accurate, but we've had a couple games where we've had, I think one or two games we were 18 or 16 points in transition, and they had 0 points in transition. And that's really hard to do. And then our points in the paint have been phenomenal. I think we've had multiple games where we've been in the 40s, points in the paint, which means we're getting easy baskets, you know, and that doesn't mean we're posting up, but that means we're attacking the basket. We are posting up on occasion, but we're attacking the basket. We're getting transition. We're getting steals. We're getting easy looks. And, those two things, if you can win the paint, about winning the paint.
Right. I agree.
You know, there's going to be teams that shoot the ball well. And that's kind of always been our thing. You know, if you're going to get hot and you're going to make contested shots, I'm not sure what we can do about it, but we can sure do some things to limit your paint touches. And I think that's really been critical for us early on. And, you know, as far as concerns, I guess I just, you know, 6 games in, you know, there's just some things that we haven't been tested at yet, you know, some different, you know, maybe just different, you know, the way teams are made up, you know, maybe size, or maybe there's just some things we haven't seen yet. Maybe defenses we haven't seen yet. So we worked on some things, you know, looking at your next 3 opponents probably over break. What are some things these people are going to bring to the table? And we've worked on a lot of that, just thinking about what we've got in the next couple of weeks and what we can do. What can we do in practice? What type of drills can we do in practice maybe to prepare for some of that early?
Talking to head coach Kevin Archer, head coach of the Iowa Blue Demons, coach undefeated into the break. And one of the things about break that you get is during the season, you're moving from one game to the next game, and it's preparing for the next opponent. And an extended break like you've had will allow you to actually have time to work on you.
Right.
Right? You can get better at being you.
Right, right. And that's where you look at your opponents and you think, okay, what haven't we seen yet, or what do we need to get better at? And again, you know, I talked to Coach Stout from Eddyville. You know, he's not there. He's not head coach now. But I look at his team from last year. They better get a scrimmage in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've got 5-6 guys that play a bunch, and then, you know, he's just not very deep. But when you're deep like us, when you've got quality numbers like we have, you know, you can really focus on yourself. You can do some different things. You can push one another. And I think, you know, this group of guys, this group of seniors especially, but, you know, the guys that we mix in with them, the juniors and the sophomores that we work in with them, these guys have gotten after each other for years.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had competitive practice where we've attacked each other and been physical and knocked each other down. And these are kids that respond to that in practice well. I mean, not that they won't say something to each other, but it's competitive, and it's not petty, and they don't take that stuff the wrong way. They respond correctly, and that allows you to get better.
Coach Monday back on the court. Clark Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Yeah. My day is getting. You'll be here soon enough.
Yeah.
Breakdown. You know, Tuesday night.
You know, Clark's interesting. They play a lot of guys, and they're just aggressive. They play hard. They attack the basket. Just kind of a unique team in that sense. Maybe, and just, you know, a lot of games you prepare for a couple of guys, and they've got the Watson kid they bring back from last year's team. He started for them last year. He's a really nice athlete. He's somebody that we got to think about for sure. But really, everybody else for them is playing their first significant varsity minutes, but they've had some stretches where they've looked really good. You know, if they're knocking down shots and if again, it comes down to the paint, you know, if we're allowing them to get to the rim or get to the paint and taking, you know, 8 to 10 foot shots, we're going to struggle. So just a unique team to prepare for in the sense that, yeah, that he plays so many different guys. But a lot of those guys do similar things from a guard perspective. And not a lot of size. Not a lot of size on this Clark team. The Watson kid's 6'3", but he's kind of an inside-out guy. So, again, you got to control the paint. You got to get rebounds. You got to attack. A lot of the same things that we've been doing, we need to continue to do on Tuesday.
And, of course, you're into the part of the season where it's you got teams that are fighting for that top place. This is going to be a great first week.
Yeah, you got the next two games are the two undefeated teams in our league. Yep. So two huge games after that. But we're not good enough to overlook Clark. We're just not.
Well, Coach, it's going to be a fun week, and it's good to get back on the court. And I was a little disappointed on the losing that Osceola game earlier in the year. Yeah. But, man, it's good to have it in the right spot. It's in the right spot for you guys.
Yeah, I think it works out perfect.
Head Coach Kevin Archer, head coach of the Blue Demons. Take a timeout. Come right back. You listen to the fastest hour on all radio. The Coach's Corner will return after this timeout.
Jason Summers will return with Coach's Corner after a quick message from our sponsors.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a 4-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As your community ag partner, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First Iowa State Bank, your employee-owned community bank. Member FDIC.
I'm Anna Siwa, Sheridan Valley Electric Cooperative in Albia. We are excited to share the latest impact of our members' generosity through the Operation Roundup program. Albia Community Schools was awarded $2,600 to purchase 2 stackable washer and dryer units for Grant Elementary and Lincoln Center. Appanoose County Lord's Cupboard received a $1,500 grant to purchase a second new freezer/refrigerator, increasing their ability to store and distribute fresh and frozen food, allowing them to better fulfill their mission of feeding those in need. For more info on Operation Roundup, visit cvrec.com.
The BCS, the Super Bowl, Final Four, the Cyclones, and local sports. We're Southern Iowa's sports leader, Thunder Country, KIIC.
Welcome back into the Coach's Corner, and with me now, head coach Katie Dykes, head coach of the Abbey Lady D's, off and flying. Coach, you know, everyone looks forward to Christmas, but I don't know. The way everybody was playing, we talked about this earlier, you know, you wanted to celebrate Christmas, get a little breather, but I was talking to Coach Archer some moment ago. It was, you guys are playing so well, you didn't want to stop playing basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. It's good. Winter sports are kind of unique in that way. We take a really big break kind of, and not quite halfway through the season, but it was nice to end our first half of the season on a high note like that. But I think everybody was pretty hungry to get back. The girls have been practicing really well. I think it was one of those things where when you have a good season, you know, like this, it's fun to get back in the gym. You have the drive, the motivation. You don't need the break quite as much. You know, some seasons you just need a break, to kind of get that, fire back a little bit, or get, just to take a break from some of the difficulties you're having. But when it's like this and it's fun and relaxing and enjoyable, it you don't really need the break as much.
Tunnel head coach Katie Dykes, head coach of the Abbey Lady D's. Coach, you had a chance to get a scrimmage in. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, we scrimmaged Tumwa the day after our first practice. So, when you schedule that at the beginning, like we schedule that early in the season, really before we even start practicing or anything, you don't really know what to expect. And part of me was a little hesitant because I thought, oh man, you know, we'll have one practice under our belt before we come out and have to play. Like, are we going to be ready? You always worry, like, you know, will bodies be ready to endure a scrimmage? After a really a full week break and stuff, but the girls really did fantastic with it. They, I think it actually brought some more excitement to it. You know, it's fun to be able to just one day we practice, we, you know, condition a little bit, go through some things and then, put it on the court. And I think this team especially, they really embrace that. They have really high basketball IQ and that helps a lot. We don't have to, you know, spend too much time reviewing and going over the stuff that we've already done. They remember it. It's, you know, it comes naturally to them and then they just pick it up and go. And I think that shows a lot. And even just our regular motion offense set, you know, I don't have to do a lot to tell the girls where to go or what to do. It just is a very natural feel this year for them offensively. So I think that'll get better and better and be harder and harder to guard too, because there's, you know, as you know, in motion flow, there's not really specific spots that people go to. It's right. really a flow offense. So even guarding it, you know, scouting it, you're not really going to see specific tendencies except for like individual players, you know? Right. So I think that'll be fun to see how they continue to build.
And I love that offense. I love that concept, but it only works if you understand the philosophy of basketball within it, because it requires you to think. It's that instinct that you talked about, and I don't know if it is instinct, but it maybe is a built-in instinct because you have repetition.
Yep.
But in that type of flow offense, it, you know, I think one of the things that the team struggled with a year ago was recognizing when they were open to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Recognizing that, hey, this is I'm open now to shoot. Right.
Yep.
Or this spot's
how
coming open.
How much space
open.
I have available. What? Yep. And I think that's true. And just like not having the confidence maybe in themselves to shoot as much. This year, I think having built last year upon that confidence, mm-hmm. we're seeing that building block from a year of maturity or of growth and a year under, you know, the coaching staff to say, hey, we want you to shoot. We want you to take those, you know, those open looks.
So you've had a chance to digest a little bit of the it's not the first half, it's the first third. It just feels like the first half because we're at, you know, the Christmas break. Ask Coach Archer the same thing. You know, what's that one thing you take away from this third of the season that you said, hey, I think we're better here than what I thought we would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm learning the girls as we go to see what we need to implement to make, you know, to make it make them help them be more successful. So one thing that I learned from them is that they really like the up tempo, and when we get into a slower tempo game, we do struggle to score. We do struggle to find ways to slow down and then can still offensively contribute in that slow down pace. Right. And so I think my job is to find other ways to, okay, if we pull the press off because, you know, maybe we're up too much or maybe it's not working or whatever. And we just, you know, we're going to pull back. What ways can we implement things that can still put pressure defensively for us and keep that pace?
Well, don't you think that's the key is maybe the defense can be that, is that,
yep.
You know, I oftentimes think, well, offensively, maybe the other team dictates a little bit of the tempo that I can go at.
Yep.
Right?
If you pull the press off, correct. Obviously the press dictates the tempo always. So your defense can speed up the game very quickly and make it feel rushed and really affect, you know, the other team's offense by pressing. And so if you take that away and now you're letting them dictate the tempo a little bit more, now how do we then step back up defensively and do that. And we've taken a couple things. You know, I think the girls have wanted to do some more man defense, and I think that man pressure sometimes helps a little bit, that matchup pressure. We're going to try some things later in the season with some, you know, some zone trapping, you know, zone scramble type of things that will speed up the tempo in the half court, not just the full court. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And the girls, like I said, they pick things up so quickly that, you know, we added a full court man press too. So we've got several tools to use with our full court press, with our half court work. So I'm really excited to see what they do. And I think they like to score in the fast pace. You know, they like the they like the steals and the layups just as much as the half court slowdown wide open threes. I think more actually because they like, you know, they're scoring buckets and they're scoring quick and it's fun.
Yeah, I always say when you can get into with that type of a scheme, if turnovers to baskets and baskets to turnovers, yeah. You know, that's how it just feeds itself. And that's predicated on creating turnovers.
Yep.
Right?
And they read the ball so well. That I mean, you know, a lot of turnovers in those kind of situations are positions, getting in position and then reading the ball in flight and getting tips and tipping to your teammates and then even the shift of, okay, my teammate just got a tip and a steal, I'm running out, you know, and so that's Liv Sheffield's great at that. She just sees
really
it.
Is.
She's like, okay, they've got the ball secured, I'm running. And then we've got passers that are just phenomenal this year.
They talk about space on offense, but spacing in defense, and sometimes it's a dope rope.
Mm-hmm.
You're baiting the offense to make a pass into a place that they looks and it feels open. Because you've given the right space, and that's instinct.
Yep.
Space is important on both sides of the ball.
Yep, it's fun that they see that. You know, we don't really have to teach that as much. Like there are a couple, you know, principles that we give them, and then we might pause and stop and show them something. You know, but this year, like I said, because they've really had a good foundation, and they've taken that and run with it. We're adding in things and ideas on the court and showing them ways to make, you know, make offense even harder to guard, you know, changing up, like, here's our basic out-of-bounds play, but you know what, we could add this, add a screen here, and this makes it even more challenging to guard or another opportunity for a shooter or whatever. So, and they're really embracing that. I mean, these girls are so much fun to coach.
I think you said it early on, the cerebralness of the girls and understanding and having a feel for the game of basketball. Oftentimes you have a cut designed a certain way, but the defense has leverage a certain way. And if you recognize that, you can take advantage of them according to their setup being in the right position. You can make it the wrong position.
Yeah.
But you have to know that. Yep. You have to, you as a coach, you can't be over on the sideline screaming out. They just got to have that. That's a good thing. I mean, as a coach, you're having kids that are really getting it. And I think having success allows you to see how this is working, how it can work, and then it builds on itself.
Yeah, and the girls have created their own success. You know, these girls have put time in the off season, and you can tell, you know, you don't have girls that can shoot and put the ball in the hoop as well as we've done. I mean, I think we're shooting 38% from the field, which is really high percentage, you know, without putting time in the gym and in on their own bath in like their own courts, you know, during the off season, getting shots up and stuff. So it's the girls have put the effort in. They're getting it's nice to see they're getting the results that they deserve from the work that they put in.
Tuesday night.
Yep.
On the road. So.
Yep, we're actually home on Tuesday
they've
had to swap games.
They swapped them around.
So
that's correct.
We'll be away.
Well, hey, I kind of like going on the road. I just like getting settled in, right?
Yeah.
The trip, although it's a little extra work, it's kind of nice to get, you just kind of focus in for that time you're going. So, but be at home. Get a nice home crowd.
It'll be good. We've struggled against Clark in the last couple of years. Yeah. I don't think we've beat them since 2021. So, you know, but we've played them close at home almost every year. But then away we struggle. So, you know, it's probably good. We get them home first and then we'll get them away later. And I think that's always a good way to start. It's fun to start out the second part of the season with a home game too, because our crowd is so good.
Oh yeah,
it's
a lot
so
of excitement.
Fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Can't wait. All right, Coach, thanks for stopping by, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Jason.
Going to be a fun New Year. We're going to take a time out. We're coming back. We're going to talk with Coach Darren Helm and talk some Lady Wrestling when we come back. Back to the Fast Hour on All the Radio. You better buckle them up, because this is a fast old ride you're on.
Livestock sales at Humiston Livestock Exchange are held on Tuesdays at 9:30 a.m. Their next sale will be January 7th with weigh-ups and fats starting at 9:30, followed by a special sheep, goat, and hog sale. January 14th is the date of the next sale with weigh-ups and fats at 9:30, followed by a special feeder sale. Humiston Livestock Exchange in Humiston, Iowa on Highway 65 in Wayne County. Annie's Sale Barn Cafe will be serving up breakfast, lunch, and dessert.
If you've ever had work done on your home,
You know how hard it can be finding someone that you can count on to return phone calls, show up for an appointment, or keep to a construction schedule, and maybe most importantly, address problems when they arise. Since 1993, Phillips Floors has built their reputation with reliable, high-quality flooring installation and service. We stand behind what you stand on is more than just a motto. It's the way they conduct their business. Phillips Floors, your family-owned, farmer-owned, Southern Iowa flooring company. Visit them at their Indianola showroom, online at phillipsfloors.com, or call today for an estimate, 515-961-7300. Be sure to ask about the 18-month interest-free financing. Again, stop by their Indianola showroom, online at phillipsfloors.com, or call today, 515-961-7300.
Are you a saver or a spender? Either way, we have you covered at Community First Credit Union with two great reward checking options. Our checking accounts are about money in your pocket, not points you'll never use. Simply meet monthly qualifications to get your rewards and unlimited nationwide ATM fee refunds. And no matter what happens, there are no monthly fees or minimum balance requirements. Switch to CFirst today and let us reward you, because at CFirst, together is better. Rules and qualifications apply. CFirst is federally insured by the NCUA.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent. A real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to help keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit Summers Insurance in Albia today at summersins.net.
The BCS, the Super Bowl, Final Four, the Cyclones, and local sports. We're Southern Iowa's sports leader, Thunder Country, KIIC.
Welcome back in, back into the Coach's Corner. All right, with me now, head coach Darren Helm, head coach of the Albia Lady Wrestling Program. Coach, before we talk about the ladies, Coach Owens is he's Matt's side right now. He's in the corner probably with the guys in their duel. Maybe you can give us a little update there.
Yeah, the results that I can find, let me quick check here. They were, unfortunately, they were behind. They lost 49-27 to Wilton, which is an absolute 1A power.
Yeah.
And then talking to Coach Owens this week, he knew it was kind of going to be one of those duels where we just didn't match up real well with the talent they have. But felt like, at least he felt like the other four duels I have today, they could definitely compete.
Yeah, I was hoping to catch up with him. But both Saturdays we've had duels. I mean, Saturday's a really important day for wrestling for the guys' side. It seems like there's always a tournament or a duel competition somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I know he was pretty excited about adding this to the to their schedule and having an opportunity to kind of get out of the area and wrestle some different teams.
I mean, you got to see Wilton.
Yeah, I think there's Wilton, New Hampton, Cascade, Solon is pretty
tough. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're talking about some of the best wrestling in the state.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So they had 5:15 leave time this morning.
Oh, wow.
So they were on the road plenty early, but I'm sure they'll have good time and see some good competition. So that's what you need.
Hey, I don't want to forget this because we're going to jump away from wrestling just for a second and talk dad. How is Lance?
He's doing good. He's loving the college athlete life. He certainly it was a learning experience for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he understood the amount of time that it was going to take. So he was busy pretty much all day with going to class and lifting and meetings and everything. But he had a good year. He was able to get on some special teams. Got in a couple games there towards the end of the year. So it was good. I mean, he's liking it, and he just loves the strength coach, Coach Edwards. The guy is just an absolute freak. On Lance's visit, we were in the weight room, and he was benching 405 for reps. And the story is that back in his day, he could squat 1,000 pounds. So Lance was pretty intrigued and just loves working with him.
I squatted 1,000 pounds, too, on my 10-rep set.
Yeah, yeah. Over the course of my life, I've probably squatted 1,000 pounds. Yeah, yeah.
He had to go back, and I thought this kind of. He came back, and they. I mean, they have goals all the time. They had to meet, and he had a big goal to go back with.
Yes, he had a meeting right before he left, and they have a weight goal. One of the things that the coaches said in order for him to, you know, possibly get some more playing time, he needed to put on weight. And so his goal was he needed to come back at 213. And the last I knew, he was about 215. So,
all right, Nikki, way to go.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas cookies. But, no, he's doing well.
That's awesome. Hey, now we'll talk some lady wrestling. You guys had a meet last night. Break that down for us.
We did. We went to the Megan Black. They renamed the Eddyville tournament the Megan Black tournament. So they had a little ceremony there before honoring her, which was pretty cool. So there's 17 teams there, and we ended up fourth. We just, in the last couple matches, Burlington passed us by 2 points there in those final placing matches. But we were able to come out fourth place. I kind of did some digging. I'm kind of a stats guy, kind of a wrestling nerd. And the teams that placed ahead of us, each of them had 14, 10, and 12 wrestlers that were scoring. Mm-hmm. We took 9 girls, 8 of which were scoring wrestlers, because we had 2 girls at 110 pounds last night. And so with 8 girls, or 8 scoring girls, we were able to come out with fourth place, which I thought
that's really good.
Was really good. Yeah, it was a good night. We were really looking forward to this tournament, because we were going to have some places where we could get some rematches, and we had a couple places where we were hoping to get some matchups that will kind of give us an idea of where we are at come regionals. And in a couple places with Paige Popson and Avery Castor, we were able to wrestle girls that had beat us previously, and we were able to get some revenge, which was really good for them.
That's great.
So, yeah, we did. It was an awesome tournament, 4 mats and 2 gyms. The competition's just right. It seemed like, you know, you're really experienced girls. You're higher level girls had matches that that challenged them, and across the board we got matches that are only going to make us better.
Well, you know, it's so fast. So we're sitting here talking off the air about February's coming. You know, we're going to have the South Central Conference. By the way, I want to give everyone a shout out. We're going to do a very special South Central Conference. We're going to take the South Central Conference men's wrestling tournament, the individual wrestling tournament, down to Bridgeview. Sheraton's the host, and we've got Bridgeview. We're going to do a special broadcast, and it's going to be a great night. But the night before, you guys start sectionals.
Yep, regionals.
I mean, you've got 4 weeks really here, Coach.
Yeah, I did the math this morning. 27 days.
Wow,
27 days. We're gonna be competing. You know, we talked the last time. Our regionals pretty tough.
Pretty tough.
I mean, it's pretty loaded with, you know, a lot of really good girls individually, a lot of really tough teams, and so our lineup is looking a little bit different. We're some of our girls are doing some research and trying to figure out what they can do individually to get themselves to the state tournament. So our lineup is different than what it has been, and it's still not settled. We still got.
You know, I'm looking at my watch here, making sure we have time, because I want to get through. We got 6 minutes here. Let's run through the girls.
So right now, Paige Popson, she's been out for quite a while with an injury. She's actually been about a month since the last time she stepped foot on the mat. She was able to beat a girl in the semifinals that had beaten her earlier in the year. Got to the finals against Abby Durflinger from Eddyville Blakesburg. She's tough as nails, but we wrestled her about as tough as I think anyone has at least in a while. You know, that's a match that we really wanted to get, mm-hmm. and we did. And you know, we've got some places where we think that we can improve, because we'll see her multiple times.
Absolutely.
Moving forward. Serene Thompson has also she wrestled at 110 last night. She's been up at 115. She got third. She was able to wrestle and beat the same girl that had beat Paige earlier in the year. So,
wow, tremendous.
So she had a great tournament. Really, really happy with where she's at. Sophie Heeman, unfortunately, suffered an injury, rolled an ankle in her semifinals match. But she was wrestling really well up until that point. And you know, hopefully it's nothing too significant. But we'll just play that by ear and, you know, get her back in the lineup as soon as we possibly can. JoJo Sears, a freshman, wrestled at 125 last night. Kind of had a rough night, but when she came off the mat the last time, you know, I said, you know, what's the thing that's holding us back? And she knows what it is, which I think is good and very mature as an athlete. She knows what she needs to do to make those strides to become
Well, that's an also, by the way, he didn't ask for this. That's a compliment to you because you asked the right question.
Yeah.
You know, you asked the question. And then as a coach, what you hope is that you've coached into them the ability to understand, to give you the right answer.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those, when the kids know,
yeah,
it's easy to help them get to that next level. So come Monday, we're gonna be working on the things that we need to help her to, you know, take that next step. At 1:30 with Sydney Ballard wrestled last night. What you know with Sydney Ballard is you're always going to give her best effort. She, you know, puts her foot on the line every time and gives us her best effort. You know, she didn't get the result that she wants, but I think deep down inside she knows that every time she's stepping on the mat, we're seeing improvement.
Yeah.
And it's hard for kids sometimes to see the improvement because they're looking at themselves and kids just look at results, you know,
right,
winning, losing. You know, Sydney's the kind of kid that's going to come back on Monday and she's going to, you know, give us her best effort. Madden Stone wrestled at 135 last night, fifth place, had a really nice tournament. Wrestled pretty well. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see her because we were in two gyms, so I happened to be in the other gym. But Slater and Travis, you know, cornered her, and you know, they had lots of good things to say about her matches. Aubrey Major got a second place finish last night. Ran into a girl from Appleton Parkersburg that was just a little bit better than her, but she had a really, really good night. Really, really excellent. That girl, if she would have started when she's, you know, young, she would be really, really lights out. But I just love how she just loves wrestling. I mean, every time I see her, that's what we talk about. So it's like one wrestling nerd to another. Just love her effort, love her desire. Avery Caster, second place finish last night.
Yeah.
Just ran into a girl that was just a little bit better than her. Got revenge in a match that she was winning. At a previous meet. So, you know, we had talked about how the adjustments that we needed to make against that previous opponent, and she made all the adjustments that she needed to, wrestle a smart match. Got a second place finish, which I know that's not her ultimate goal last night, but she did a really nice job. And then last round us out, we had Maggie Makinich at 155 pounds, came away with the fifth place finish. No, she was disappointed in her finish, but the thing is with Maggie,
she's so smart and tough.
You're always going to get your best effort from her. So
I love her attitude. Yes. I mean, look up and down your roster. I mean, you just got the right attitude, kids.
Yeah,
right?
I got 10 kids.
Man.
I would take every one of them.
Gosh, this is going to be fun, Coach.
It is.
You're having a good time.
I
see you smile a lot. That's a good thing.
It is. This is it's a true blessing to be these girls' coach.
All right, folks, it's going to be a fun ride here as we open up this 25. The boys and girls basketball off and flying. The wrestling teams are on the mat, and they are wrestling at some of the elite levels. We're going to have a great 25 to look forward to. For the best producer in the business, Jacob Briggs, big thank you, buddy. And to all of you for making us a part of our Saturday. Got one thing left to do, folks. Have a great Saturday. You've been listening to the Coach's Corner, brought to you by Community First Credit Union.